So from Jacob we have the physical descendants, and now we come down to our day and we find that there are true Jewish believers within the nation of Israel called a remnant shall be saved. A remnant according to the election of grace shown to us in Romans chapter 9. So you see what's happening there. Could Ishmael have been saved? Amen. Could Esau and all his followers trust the Lord and been saved? Amen. Look, they had wonderful covenant promises made to them, Ishmael and Esau. They would become great nations. And there's the blessing of God in the earthly realm. And that's happened. That's happened. But there's animosity there, is there not? And we're still seeing that today, right down through the ages. There is that antagonism that is there, that was there in that original family. Interesting how family problems can be multiplied down through the generations. We know this. What are you having a war with this people? Oh, in 600 AD they did this to us. That's still going on. It's still going on in the patriarchal family, unfortunately. Oh, if they had all turned to the Lord, what a blessing it would have been. What a blessing it would be. One day they will. One day they will. So we move down through that genealogy. Now we have two nations also that are mentioned here. And this is important because we come to some of those difficult verses. Let's go back to page 9, if you're able to do that, please. At the end of point C, we read the natural seed, Ishmael, Esau, Jacob's physical descendants, and so on. Yes. Not that of the promised line. Note that these are not the promised line in corporate election. The corporate election, the national election, goes on a different line, and we've just seen that. Now we're going to read about two nations in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 to 13 and so on. And we read such verses as these. In verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children had not been born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls, it was said of her, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now two nations are going to emerge here. I believe corporate election, national election, is the issue that has been spoken about with great respect to all those theologians down through the ages and even currently with us. We're reading about the roots and the branches of the olive tree. We're now going to have a look at the purpose of God in election, concerning the election, as the Apostle Paul says. In point B, the original Old Testament contexts are the key to understanding God's strategies of election. A national, corporate election. Dr. Walt Kaiser, the great Old Testament scholar, preacher and teacher, has a popular three-word statement. Context is king. Context is king. In other words, not a word or a couple of words, the whole context of the passage. And here is what we call an intertextual context. We have a quote here. Two quotations. One from Genesis, one from Malachi. One from Genesis, one from Malachi at the end of the Old Testament. And this is what Dr. Walt Kaiser is talking about. Context is king. And he also has advice for preachers. He says, preachers and teachers, keep your finger on the text. Keep your finger on the text, lest you go off into exegetical fallacies or fantasies. That text will take you in to the deep things of God in a literal, normal interpretation of Scripture. Of course, one of the great offenders down in church history is Origen in the 3rd and 4th century. He caused that much trouble that the scriptures ended up you couldn't understand what he's talking about, and you couldn't believe what he was getting out of the scriptures. They were fantasies from the allegorical interpretation based in Alexandria in Egypt. Now, let's have a look at this. The older shall serve the younger. In Genesis 25:13, two nations are in your womb and two peoples. Let's turn to that. Keep your finger in Romans 9. Genesis chapter 25. Now, we're going back now to these verses that the Apostle Paul quoted, and we believe that they are quoted in context. I beg your pardon, that should read Genesis 25:23. Genesis 25:23 in the notes there, page 9. Beg your pardon about that. Verse 22 of chapter 25. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. So here's the question. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other. And the older shall serve the younger.
Now, of course, there were
two fetuses there, weren't there? Yeah. But in the purposes of God, those individuals were called a corporate group. Become a nation, each. Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples are in your womb. You're not saying that all everyone's going to be saved in that group. But this is my purpose. One of those are going to be chosen as the chosen people to bless. Do you see that there? The older shall serve the younger, and two nations are in your womb. And that's how it worked out in history, and that's how it is still working out in history. We believe the basis here is a corporate and a national election. But then we've got, back in Romans 9, then we've got this other one that's puzzling that we have in verse 13, perhaps the most puzzling, where it says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. I know the great story of Charles Haddon Spurgeon goes along this way, where a dear old lady came up to him afterwards, and he's speaking on predestination election, and an old lady came up to him, the dear old ladies that have the questions, and we love them. And he said, brother, I can't understand how God could hate Esau. And he said, madam, I can't understand how God could love Jacob. We often say, Lord, I can't understand how you can love any of us. And we're honest. Yeah. I'm the only one that really knows me and God. Okay? Yeah. You might think I'm a pretty good fellow. Graham does here. Yeah. I think so. But only the Lord knows. Lord, you receive me and forgive me for Jesus' sake. That is a wonderful thing. So here really we have these two groups that are emerging. And now we go to the end of the Old Testament. I partly agree with Spurgeon. I don't know whether he can see us or hear us today. But he doesn't. But partly agree, because I believe national groups are being spoken about. Let's have a look at this in Malachi. Okay, turn over the page, please. Page 11. Jacob have I loved, point E. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, in verse 13. Now that's a quotation, not from Genesis, not from the story of Esau and Jacob and the giving of birth and so on, but now this is a statement right at the end of the Old Testament. So let me work out here, quick calculation. What would be the distance in years? What would be the time in years? We're going to Malachi, the book of Malachi, 400 BC, and we're back in the time of Abraham, 2000 BC, 400 from 2000. So there'd be a 1,600 years difference here between statement 12 and statement 13, quotation. Agreed with me? All right, let's find Malachi. That's an easy one to find. That's right at the end, isn't it? Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Let's read them. Malachi 1:1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Says the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now that's got a context. What's the context? Where is your mind going? Is your mind going back 1,600 years to the patriarchal family, or are you travelling down through time to the very end of the Old Testament, and they've got a neighbour called Edom, which is a relative of the, and within the patriarchal family, they have become enemies. Still going on. For it says in the remainder of verse 3, but Esau I have hated and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, that's Esau, the nation, we have been impoverished, but we'll return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. That's the hatred. It's the judgment that God has. They could have all turned to the Lord, but they set their face against God. They set their face against Israel. The judgment of Edom was this, without developing this too much, is that when the Babylonians came down and destroyed the temple of the city and took them captive, Edom came along and kicked them while they were down, put the boot in to Israel. And God says, that's too much. My hatred of judgment is against you. They could have turned, but they didn't. That's God's hatred and hardening. So what we have here, we believe, is of God's freedom in election. Jacob and Esau of national and corporate group. I think we'll have a break and come back and just pick up the last part of the first session.